was like a basketball to me. I never put that basketball underneath my pillow. Maybe that's why I can't sleep at night. I need help, ladies and gentlemen. I need someone to stand beside me. I need someone to set a pick for me at the free throw line of life. Someone I can pass to. Someone to hit the open man on to give him goal. And not end up in the popcorn machine. So cheerleaders, help me out.
I was walking around the community this afternoon and somebody asked me, they said, I heard you talking about the Tennessee-Arkansas game on the show today. Do you really think the Vols can win tonight? They're going to get blown out in that game. And I said, no, they're not. And a guy looks at me and says, well, you want to make a bet? And I said, well, I'm not a betting man. I'm a poor man, brother. But they're not going to get blown out in that game. And they didn't get blown out. Tennessee had a real chance tonight on the road at Arkansas after a flat effort. After a completely flat effort over the weekend with Texas A&M, the Vols had a real, live, living, breathing opportunity tonight, went on the road. Man, what more can you expect? You're playing nine guys. Arkansas is so deep. Their coach is in his, what, fourth year. Portis is a pro. Qualls, when he plays like that, I mean, they're hell on wheels. And Tennessee falls in a really close game. Falls down three late. I want to point a couple things out here. I'm going to bring Hatfield in. Smartway, Dalton Behring, and Hydraulics, Tennessee Basketball Overtime. Tony Basilio reporting tonight from the Raymere Studios here about 7 miles from the University of Tennessee campus tonight, where the Volunteers will come back home after falling on the road. 12-7 is now the record, 4-3 overall in the conference. Auburn awaits high noon on Saturday, which is like a bowl game. A game Tennessee absolutely, absolutely, positively must get. Keith Hatfield, good evening and welcome. Hello.
Tony, how are you this evening?
I've been better, man. I'm really proud of these guys. I thought they played a hell of a game tonight. They didn't play a smart game at times. And when you don't do some of the little things Tennessee didn't do tonight, you're not going to win. But I tip my cap to Arkansas. Keith, I want to go over the sequence at the end of the game. You know, all you can want is to put yourself in a position where you come up with a turnover, it's a three-point game. 15 seconds left. Portis was out of control all night long. And he committed his fifth foul on Armani Moore in the backcourt, and it wasn't called. He absolutely ran him over. Did you see what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And it's not called, which is a huge non-call in the game. What an unbelievable pass and great call out of the timeout to get a wide open look for Hubs 3. Here's my question. Why isn't that Bachman shooting that shot there? He's a 50%.
The way Hubs had shot the ball tonight and the fact that ball hits every part of the rim before it comes out, I got no problem.
You got no problem with it?
Right. No, I got
Donnie will like that later, but I'm second guessing him. He'll be into that.
The way he blasted the two previous threes down, and the way that one was right on line, I got no qualms with how that ended up.
Tennessee's got a 3-point game. I love Arkansas. I wish we could play them a seven-game series. These are fun games to watch. Arkansas plays without a conscience. They play without regards to time and place and space. And Madden tonight, they have a fresh shot clock, Keith, 100 seconds to go in the game. He's shooting a three ball from 24 feet with 33 seconds to go on a shot clock. What in the hell? What kind of basketball do they play there? What is that?
I mean, that's just how they play, Tony. I mean, I think you just, if that's the style you choose to play, I think you have to live with it. Certainly not conventional. It's certainly not smart, but if that's how you choose to play, I don't think that's a style and a mentality you can turn on and off. I think you have to kind of give them that kind of leeway if you're going to play that style. I mean, I thought the biggest sequence of the game was Mostella hits the three to put Tennessee up 50-45, and then Madden hits one from about 25 feet, mm-hmm. and then Michael Qualls throws in a complete circus shot to tie the game, and I thought it kind of swung back Arkansas's way there, and while Tennessee stayed right in it, I never after that sequence thought Tennessee was going to win the game.
I really am proud of the effort of our kids. You care to comment on that?
Oh, I thought after Saturday they answered Donnie Tindall's challenge. I mean, Donnie kind of aired them out a little bit, saying that, look, this team's not talented enough to take plays off and have any chance. And I thought the effort, I mean, like I said, I mean, I'll be the first one to admit, I probably think Arkansas is better than most people think they
are.
Yeah,
they're very good.
But Tennessee goes in. Not a lot of teams are going to win down there this year. And Tennessee was right there at the end. And I mean, and we're frustrated about the effort Saturday. And sure, they were a little flat early. But I mean, A&M just went down to Auburn, a place that Xavier wasn't able to win earlier this year, and just walked them. I mean, that game was never really competitive.
Somebody had a great take on Twitter just now, Trey Poti. If Big Gulp jumps up and down a little bit on that shot, maybe it rattles around and goes in.
Well, man.
I mean, that really hurts. I mean, no kidding. Right. That ball goes in. We're beating them in overtime, and they're building Keith. They're holding on for dear life.
Oh, there's no doubt. I mean, I'm a big believer that the team that sends the game to overtime more often than not wins the game. And certainly Tennessee would have had every bit of the momentum going into overtime.
We'll go to the phones tonight and get as many people on as I possibly can. 865-200-5402. And game tonight where Shannon Spake earlier asked Anthony Grant if his team had to take care of the football at halftime tonight in their game. This is going to be very interesting. Auburn tonight, a beaten down bunch coming in here. Tennessee tonight, it was very important for them not to get blown out in that game for emotional reasons. The Vols can walk away from that with a film study saying, hey, let's let this thing roll. We were in the game tonight, losing 69-64. Keith, I think there's an important component to not getting blown out tonight.
Oh, sure. I mean, I think anytime you get beaten down, especially when you've lost the previous game, that it's never good to get blown out in that situation. I don't know how much you gather strategically from a game against them simply because they're of a different kind of style. I don't know how much you can take strategically and say, okay, let's fix this, let's fix that. But now, granted, Auburn's going to come out and probably play a little bit the same. I mean, Auburn's going to come out, and I think they'll try to extend the floor and kind of try to get the game at a frenetic pace.
Which is great. We love that.
Yeah. All about Tennessee handled the turnovers were more kind of in the half court. I didn't think the pressure particularly bothered Tennessee. I thought when the game was kind of an up and down open floor game, I thought Tennessee handled that just fine.
Look inside the numbers. Here we go. Tennessee on the night shoots 44% from the field, Arkansas 47%. Tennessee 24 of 55 from the field, Arkansas 24 of 51. So Tennessee got more shots than them on the road. Tennessee shoots 36% from the field, from the three-point line, by the way. Arkansas 32%. The Vols were 5 of 14 while Arkansas was 6 of 14 from behind the stripe. The free throw percentage, Tennessee 73%, Arkansas 68%, and punters two that he missed late were really, really huge shots. Those were huge shots in the game. Again, it's hard for me to fault him. I thought he played a great game tonight himself. Turnovers tonight, more to your point, Tennessee with 16 turnovers in the game, Arkansas with 18. These are numbers that you should win with when you go on the road and you do these things. Tennessee tonight, rebounds in the game, they are deadlocked, 31 apiece. Points off turnovers tonight, Keith. Tennessee, 19 points off turnovers to Arkansas's 10. Tennessee tonight with 9 offensive rebounds, Arkansas with only 8. Tennessee with 12 second chance points, Arkansas with only 10. Tennessee's bench scored 10 points while Arkansas's had 12. Tennessee had 32 points in the paint tonight, Arkansas 26. Arkansas with 6 blocks in the game. And Tennessee with 9 steals to Arkansas's 3. Arkansas with 19 assists to Tennessee's 10. Tennessee owns just about every single number in the game with the exception of the final score. That's tough.
Oh, Tennessee, they played the kind of basketball you have to play to win on the road. Arkansas is one of the tougher venues in this league. Not like, as I said, I don't think many people are going, of their 9 conference home games, I'll be stunned if they lose more than 2. I think they've already dropped 1, so I'll be stunned if they lose more than 2.
Holler at me tonight if you want to get in, 865-200-5402. All lines are currently jammed.
I'll tell you one thing that's happening, Tony.
Go ahead.
If you watch around this league right now, it's a little better than it has been. It's still not good.
It's better.
But watch and see. They're going to end up with not near as many NCAA bids as they possibly could, simply because what happened in Tuscaloosa tonight.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to happen all year.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody below Kentucky, mm-hmm, and above Auburn, Mississippi, mm-hmm, State, are just going to beat the living hell out of each other.
If Tennessee can get into that 8-8, 9-7 deal, they'll get right in the conversation like we've talked about. And they're still on track for that. They're still on. This was before the year. This is a game you penciled as a loss. The Auburn game is gigantic. You can pick up 2 straight wins. You got 2 straight wins coming at you, and you got to get them. This is baseball. We're in September. You're chasing the pennant. You can't let last place teams beat you. You gotta beat the teams in front of you. You gotta put yourself in a spot down the stretch, and all the goals for this team are still in front of it. And by the way, I was proud of the way the 2 kids played tonight. I thought Carmichael played well, considering the circumstances, and I thought Owens played okay, considering the circumstances.
Well, I'd have been a lot happier if Donnie had gotten him out 30 seconds.
Well, I agree with that. You don't pass the ball to him in the corner.
Well, as soon as he caught the ball,
just don't do that.
Anybody who's watched more than about 10 minutes of basketball in their life knew as soon as he caught that was a turnover.
Are you falling in love with Donnie the way our fan base is with that design play they called coming out of that timeout? That was one hell of a great play. And Ellis called it NBA. He said that's NBA caliber
coaching. That's an NBA set, Tony. I mean, that's a play that NBA teams run to get that corner 3. I mean, if you watch a lot of NBA, you see that all the time. That's what the best coaches do. You take stuff from everywhere. And that's exactly what you try to do.
To the phones we go. He's Keith Hatfield. I'm Tony Basilio.
Well, and it gives you some dummy action in Tony. And when you watch that play initially, you think Tennessee's going for the quick 2 and the foul.
Check in with me tonight. Let me know where you are. As Tennessee falls to number 25, Arkansas on the road tonight. Hard to see where the Vols went wrong. They just didn't execute down the stretch. It's just case in point. Last 3.5 minutes, they had opportunities. You missed 2 at the foul line. Let's go to the phones. Enough out of us. An opportunity for you to talk to us, talk to the living ball fan, as we go coast to coast across this great country of ours and around the web this evening as the Vols fall on the road. Tennessee on the year now stands at a rather impressive for this ball club, 12-7, 4-3 in the league. And it's such an impressive night. Robert Hubbs tells the Vol Network tonight, I took the shot. I couldn't have shot it any better. It hit every spot on the rim. Gulp's got to get up and jump around.
Well, it's the same thing. And it's the same thing with the two free throws punter missed.
Oh, they rattle around.
You watch enough basketball, you know what a choke looks like. That was a good free throw shooter
yeah.
having two rattle out on him.
So Little Ant said to me tonight, Little Ant said the exact same thing to me. He said, Dad, do not get on him. He said, they're both those shots rattled around and rattled out. A guy's a competitor. It's at the end of the game.
You're going to miss some here. That didn't have,
You know what I told my kid? I said, you ought to know me better than that. The way this team hustles, you think I'm going to beat on this team after that game? You know what the line was in that game? The line was 11 at one point today. It went off at 10, 10 and a half. I mean, who's kidding? Who's kidding who here? Let's go back to the phones. Look, I'm not into moral victories. That's a damn good job to go on the road and scare those guys at the end. Not that scaring them's good enough, because Tennessee had an opportunity. They had all kinds of opportunities. But you can just see it. If we can just weather this storm here, and we're going to weather the storm. I'll have some word here in a little bit on what Jeff Goodman reported earlier, because people are wondering if it's outside the norm. Let me just say it was expected. I'll have more for you at TonyBasilio.com. I made some phone calls tonight and tracked some things down. But I am confident in reporting you tonight that Tennessee was... Jeff Goodman reported today that two Southern Mississippi players were interviewed by the NCAA. In fact, they both were pulled from the practice court or didn't practice today, according to the Munns fella from down there who covers Southern Miss. Well, I can report to you that Tennessee was expecting both those guys to get interviewed, that what we thought was going to be the letter that was going to come in January is now expected to come. And I give Jeff Goodman credit for this because he knew it. It's now going to come sometime in either late March, early April, or maybe even late April. The NCAA is behind where they thought they would be. They're several weeks behind because there are four cases going on concurrently at one time. So they've got a logjam. And so Jeff Goodman told me today in an interview, Keith, I don't know if you heard it, but he told me today that he was excellent, wasn't he?
Well, Goodman's always fantastic. Goodman's one of a handful of there are a handful of the guys that cover college basketball. That's their beat. That I follow what they say. I follow what they say religiously. I read their columns every time they put something out. And he's one of that handful of guys.
He told me today that this thing is gonna go could drag on in the next season. He said, I don't know how to tell you that, but it could drag on in the next season. Let's go to the phones. So today what was reported by Goodman, Tennessee knew was going to happen. They expected it to happen. It's not a new development in the case. I'll have more at TonyBasilio.com tomorrow about it. I fleshed it out a little more. But tonight we want to spend some time talking about this. This is what we're here for. To the phones we go. Hello.
Tone, what do you say? This is Dave Nathan.
Hey, FDN.
Guys, I'm glad to lead off the show as the first caller. Y'all always do a great job, and glad that y'all are there.
I want to comment just
a little bit about the game. I think that our last, I don't know, 3 to 5 possessions before Kendall drew up that good grief, that beautiful play at the end of the game to get Hubs that open look in the corner. The last 3 to 5 possessions, they were absolutely horrendous. I mean, I don't know. I think that we could have been much better off pulling the ball back out and setting up some sort of offense instead of driving to the basket when we were going 1-on-3, especially the one with Hubs when he drove to the basket. And I know that we were outnumbered of that two plays before the Kendall drawn up play. I just didn't think that we executed the way that we could have or should have. But I know that these guys on the road, that's a tough atmosphere to play in. I'm never going to fault these guys. They scrapped. They battled hard. I'm really proud of them, though.
Punter tonight puts that ball up, and I'm saying no, pull it out. And my kid's going, Dad, it's a layup. He's got to attempt that. Keith, I didn't have a problem with that. In retrospect, it's hard to fault any of that. Look, you know, Josh Richardson had a look from 12, right at the elbow there. He could have pulled it out. But he didn't, I mean, to your point, you could have pulled that ball out and played a little more deliberately, but, you know, the thing that's great about Arkansas, Keith, is that they force us to play a little faster, and we're better when we play faster in our half court. That's why we're in the game tonight.
Oh, we're certainly better in the open floor than we are. I mean, we're just not built. Look, when you can't throw it down, you don't have anybody you can throw it to down close to get a basket or get a foul and get to the free throw line. It's incredibly tough to play anything that resembles good half-court offense at that point. What's Tennessee going to do in that situation? Throw the ball in the post to Willie Carmichael?
Tirico and Steve. I played some good minutes tonight.
Yeah, he did. He didn't.
He did.
I was proud of that guy tonight.
Yeah, he didn't kill him. I mean, Grant, again, the thing about Tariq Owens is, Tariq Owens is a guy that should be redshirting. So when you watch him, anything you get out of him, he's going to be a nice player. You mark my words, he will be a nice player here in time.
Yeah, I agree. He was doing all he could do out there with their big, but you know, I thought he'd give it some quality minutes, especially since Carmichael comes off pretty much off the bench with three fouls. But I think that if you play Arkansas 10 times, I think that Tennessee splits with this team.
Totally agree. Absolutely agree. Love watching these two teams play. Hope we get another one.
That is a great basketball.
I just hope we get another one in. I hope we get another one in the tourney. You got it.
I do too. I think, but I'll tell you what. I'll take this. The close loss tonight against Arkansas, which is I'm still with Keith. I know Keith had said earlier this season that he thought Arkansas was the second best team in the league. Maybe they are, maybe they're not. I mean, they're right up there in the top two or three in the league for sure. But I'll take a close loss to the second or third best team in the SEC to drill in Pearl's eyes shut this weekend.
I don't think there's any doubt about that. I totally 100% agree with you. I don't know if I could agree with somebody more. Thank you, my friend. And that will be the drumbeat from here on out. I want to beat the living hell out of Auburn Saturday. Okay? This is not Mr. Nice Guy. We ain't here to celebrate Bruce Pearl's tenure, although I will do some of that this week. The guy did a great job here. I do not want him walking out of here with a win on Saturday. He does not need to win Saturday. We need to win Saturday. This is the University of Tennessee. It ain't the University of Bruce Pearl. And let's get it on! Let's get it on, Tony Jones! Let's get it on! Stephen Pearl! Let's get it on! To the phones we go. Keith, you were saying.
Hey, Tony, how tall is Maria Taylor?
She's beautiful. She's a volleyball player.
She's
6'1", 6 feet.
She towers over Greg McElroy.
Oh, yeah, she's 6 feet, 6'1".
McElroy must be Doug Flutie's size then, because she's a good half head taller than him.
Brock Tharp tonight on Twitter, I think he called the play for Hubs for two reasons. One, he was hot, and two, Balkman's got a three-point reputation, may have drawn attention. Brock, I would say this to you, Arkansas plays so unaware that I doubt anything would have drawn attention. How you leave Hubs wide open, you need a three. They're not even guarding the perimeter, Keith.
No.
They're the best.
They got caught by the dummy action. They thought Richardson was going to go take the quick two, and that Tennessee was going to try to foul with 8 seconds to go. I don't think there's any doubt what Arkansas thought, and that's the genius of the design of the play.
Back to our phones we go, and there's a Volcat on Twitter tonight.
Deerstone? No. I didn't think Deerstone did Twitter.
No.
Who had some brilliance today, Tony? I actually tried to call in today, and then realized that it wasn't going to work. Today, he was talking about how awful Ray Lewis is, and somebody called in and jumped him about Ray Lewis only pleading to whatever Ray Lewis pled to, obstruction. And Deerstone got on this rant about, well, yeah, but the other guys didn't get off scot-free. Well, I hate to tell Deerstone, both the other two guys got acquitted at trial.
Back to the phones we go.
He's such a genius.
You've got issues. I'm going back to my phones tonight at 865-200-5402. Hello and welcome. Smartway, Dalton Bearing and Hydraulics, Tennessee Basketball Overtime, the place where we talk about it. Hello and welcome.
I love me some Professor Smarty.
Great.
Hey, but guys, first thing I wanted to say, I didn't get a chance to say on Saturday, even though we played bad on Saturday, I was proud of the team on Saturday for the way they fought back late in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I had confidence that we would play well tonight, and guys, correct me if I'm wrong, has a Donnie Tindall Tennessee team played bad back-to-back games yet?
Nope.
I don't think they have.
No, sir. I don't call tonight a bad game, do you, Jake?
No, I thought we played really well tonight. I mean, we had a few turnovers, but I thought we played really well.
I'll tell you what, there are past teams here. A couple of Konzo's teams would have gotten living hell beaten out of them tonight after the way they played Saturday.
Well, especially when you come out and get jumped 7-0.
Oh, I mean, and that's exactly right. And you're down 7-0 early, and you come back and take a 5-point lead in that game.
And I agree with Keith on that last. That was such a brilliant play that Tindall drew up. And I agree with Keith. I got no problems with that. Hubs tonight was 6 of 11 from the field. He was 2 of 3 from 3. So he was 2 of 2 from 3-point until he missed that last one. And Bachman was 1 of 5 and 0 of 2 from 3. So I think he picked the right guy to shoot that 3-point shot.
That's hard to argue with what happened. I just brought it up. I mean, my job's to bring it up here. It's hard to argue with what you guys are saying.
Well, and the other thing, too, is, Josh is always going to be your first choice to do anything for this team, but they're not going to let him take that shot.
Hey, Keith, speaking of Josh Richardson, that guy, I think if you probably went down through the SEC, and I don't follow the other teams that much, but if you probably picked a traditional first-team All-SEC team where you pick your number one point guard, your number one two guard, your number one small forward, your number one power forward, and your number one center, he's probably not a first-team All-SEC player. Mm-hmm. But that guy has got to be the most valuable player in the SEC. You not agree with that?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know that there's a better point guard in this league than him.
Well, I don't either, Keith. I said, I've not actually gone down and looked through all of them. But that guy, I don't think there's any question. I think right now he's got to be the MVP of the SEC.
I don't think there's any. Certainly. I mean, nobody else does near as much for their team as he does. I don't think there's anybody really close.
And, guys, how great. Did you see Big Gulp come when we made that basket right at the end of the first half? Did you see Big Gulp come off the bench?
He got some love on Twitter.
Somebody on the ass.
Yeah, he got some love on Twitter. This team is so entertaining. These guys have to make this through this. We will have so much fun here over the next 10 years. Can you imagine how much fun? And I was talking today with Jerry Myers, and Jerry was saying that we might have ourselves. He compared our guy, Keith, to your guy, Greg Marshall. He said, because those are two coaches that value toughness. And when you think about it, when you value toughness, you don't have to recruit that top 75 player. You can make a living between 100 and 300 and beat people. And you know who's proven that? Wichita State has proven that. You don't need top flight recruits. Look at Tennessee tonight. That team's so much more talented than we are. We work so much harder than everybody else in this league. That's why we have a chance to win that game at the end.
Well, look. I mean, granted, they're not having the greatest of years this year, but look at Pittsburgh for the last 15.
That's right. That's exactly right. They're in a league full of stars, or have been, and well, they just
are.
Outwork
they're
people
even worse now,
and they just outwork people. Yeah. Now they're
Hey guys, I'll leave you with this, and I know it was a completely different time back then. But Ray Mears did that. Ray Mears coached Tennessee for 15 years, and I've got a half-brother that I used to want to strangle in his sleep because he called Ray Mears runner-up Ray. But, hey, what's wrong with being runner-up to Kentucky and winning a few SEC championships when you coach 15 years and you go 15-15 against Kentucky with less talent? That's pretty daggone good, isn't it?
Thank you, my friend. Good talking to you. I just love the effort on this team. I just love, and appreciate the effort these guys are giving. Let's go back to our phones. 865-200-5402. Smartway, Dalton Behring, and Hydraulics. Tennessee basketball overtime. After each and every Tennessee basketball game right here at TonyBasilio.com, the place where when news breaks out, we break in. Keith, somebody had an idea. Super Dave had an idea tonight. How about on these late night games, these 9 o'clock tips, if you and I come on and do a 30-minute pregame show before the game, get people warmed up, take some calls, and offer some more off-Vol Network alternative programming?
I got no problem with that, Tony.
At what point do we start getting paid for this?
Yeah, exactly. Tony, I did have a question about the Goodman interview today.
Okay.
Did I hear him say that Bruce Pearl is doing some sort of charity event here?
Yes, he did say that.
Hold my tongue, man. 865-200-5402.
Hello and welcome.
Hey, Tony. Hey, Keith.
Hey.
Hey, this is Ellison. Got a quick comment for Keith here. A big solution to your problem in the morning. Just don't listen to Doc.
I don't know why you do that to yourself, Hatfield.
Oh, no. I mean, because now at this point...
Because you get trolled. That's why. Because you're pulled in.
Well, I just can't believe that the place that the rights holder in this market
will take it
is on a vendetta against the basketball
team. I've never heard and seen anything like it. It's crazy. The guy is hoping out loud that Donnie Tindall gets fired, and Donnie Tindall is the best thing to happen to Tennessee basketball in eons. This is so fun.
Yeah. You know, something that kind of goes untalked about at this point in your show tonight is that call at the end of the game was fantastic, but the timeout at about the 4 or 5 minute mark, when we're down four, and we get an immediate bucket, and then I think we got about 2 or 3 stops in a row, and we tied the ball game up, was absolutely huge. It was a great TO, something we would have never seen from this last staff, and that call right there fired me up more than the end of the game call.
I completely 100% feel where you're coming from. This guy and this team and these kids and the way they all are just... It's a team thrown together, man, in like 5 weeks.
Yeah.
Imagine if we give this guy 2 or 3 years and give him some support, and Bama Dave, God forbid, will really dig in and really support this guy. Imagine what it's going to look like here in 5 years. We could have a Wichita State type run here. I really believe that.
Yeah. I mean, you're always going to play second fiddle to Kentucky in this league, and that's all you got to do. If you can come into this league and you can compete for that second and third spot, and every now and then you're going to have a team that's going to be, you know, immature and can't play together at Kentucky, where you can slip in there and win the conference. But that's all you can ask for if you're a Tennessee basketball fan. And, you know, last year I was in Jacksonville, Florida. Last time I called into your all show, I was ripping Derek Reese. I think it was after the midweek Georgia loss, and I'll tell you what, this coach and staff, the players, the way they've developed, you look at Willie Carmichael, a guy who he couldn't go 30 seconds without giving up a foul, and he's playing pretty solid out there. He's not making a huge impact, but he's doing the things that he needs to do to stay on the floor, and that's just a small tidbit of what we're seeing. I mean, it's unbelievable. I love this staff.
I really believe that you hit on it. I can't see a guy that's gone backwards, can you? From the beginning of the year. Is there anybody that's regressed on this team?
Well, we were ripping Bob Huggs early, but the guy, I mean, you know, he's the guy taking the last shot of the ball game tonight. That's how far he's come. He's the guy that Donnie's drawn it up to give to.
That's a great point.
To take the last shot.
Go-to guy. We were hiding him. We were hiding him in December.
Tennessee wasn't hiding him. He was hiding himself, Tony.
And we ran a play for him tonight. That is so well put, man. That is so well put.
What's amazing, Tony, about putting a player in a position that he can actually play and that he can actually get some success in and get some confidence in will do for you.
Hey, anything else for us on this? You know, I guess we should all be sad tonight, but I know what I see. I've been doing this 20 years. Let me tell you something. This guy, this regime, this thing here is coming, and they are coming for people. And they're going to get through this NCAA stuff, and they're coming.
Yeah. I guess just wanted to reiterate how much I love this team and love watching them and love listening to you guys. And one last question is, I'm good buddies with Smitty, but I can't figure out what his beef is with Don right now. I just want to hear your input on that.
Take care. Let's go back to the phones. Yeah,
one thing that did take me off tonight, Tony, was watching Michael Qualls play. That is exactly the kind of player Chris Clark would have been for Tennessee.
Boy, that breaks my heart.
I mean, that's the one thing that kind of hacked me off watching the game tonight. That is exactly what Chris Clark would have been for Tennessee.
Why don't they call Qualls for hanging on the rim there when he did a twist and a turn there? That's a technical foul.
Actually, but I'm one of these people that thinks
I know, you let him play. I'm with you.
I think the hanging on the rim rule is the dumbest rule in sports.
I agree with you. A little flare and a little flash doesn't hurt anybody as long as it's not too excessive. But they called it on Richardson earlier in the year. Or I guess they called it last year at Wichita State, and of course Konzo sat there like a bump on a log. But
I thought the officiating tonight was fantastic.
I
watched two games tonight. I watched and I listened to Huggins' post game show as the Tennessee game was starting, and like he said, it was the best officiated game they'd had all year. Man, I watched two games tonight. Obviously, I watched West Virginia and I watched Tennessee. Hey man, the officials let guys play in both games.
Back to the
They called fouls when they had to, but they didn't call any just to remind everybody they were there. I thought the officiating in the two games I watched tonight were as good as I've seen all year.
By the way, one special note. I started out tonight. I was working on it. As the game was getting started here and we weren't on television early on, I listened to Vol Network and Steve Hamer filling in for Burt Bertelkamp. And Burt, with another scheduled night off, as he told us, I guess it would have been last Wednesday when I was over live at the sushi spot. Over in North Knoxville, which is a great place to eat, by the way. And Bert told me that he was going to have a scheduled night off. If you're going to miss a game, miss a game in Arkansas, goodness gracious. That state, good gosh. Steve Hamer tonight was really, really, really good on the radio.
Oh, with some of the complete dolts the SEC network is running out there. The fact they're not using him is just laughable.
He is 5 million, and I mean all the zeros behind million, times better than Barry Booker! Barry Booker!
Oh, Booker, and then Joe Dean Jr.
Why don't you go down to, he needs to go down the smart way. And see if he can work out a lease purchase agreement on his own personality. Let's go to the phones.
Well, he's like Brian Lee imitating The Undertaker.
Yes, he is. There's only one Undertaker, and there's only one Joe Dean, and there's only one guy who said strong music. And it ain't you, Slick.
No.
Let's go to the phones. And it ain't you, Slick Mo, on Twitter either.
And you know what the best thing was? You know what you saw tonight in the Tennessee game?
What's that?
The best guy they've got doing color commentary on SEC games now? Is a guy that played Notre Dame.
Who is that?
LaFonso Ellis.
I think he's very good. Are you ripping
That's
him?
What I mean. He's by far.
On the SEC Network. And did you hear him tonight? Actually, that game wasn't on the SEC Network. It was on ESPN. But he said, why are we talking about football here? He goes, why are we talking about football here?
Yeah.
Back to our phones we go. 865-200-5402. Hello and welcome, Smartway, Dalton Behring and Hydraulics, Tennessee Basketball Overtime.
Hey, Basilio and Hatfield, how are y'all?
Hey, how are you?
Doing fine. This is Wasper. And got to give a quick shout-out to Chris. During lunch today, I said that Tennessee would get beat by 20 today, and I was so impressed with their effort. I just could not believe that they were in that game till the end. And
after Saturday, I don't blame you for feeling that way. I just had a feeling that they would come to play tonight. And these guys are different, man. These guys are, and Josh Richardson's different.
And Tony, that was the first game I went to on Saturday, mm-hmm. and was just so disappointed in the effort, and just tonight was incredible. I mean, going to Arkansas and seeing what they were able to do with their press was just awesome. And I was just, I mean, Hubs had a great game, and then I mean, they just played a complete game, and we have to stay behind them. You know, it was just incredible.
Just came up short. There is no crime in losing when you play like that.
And I was texting some buddies, and if Tennessee would have won that game, I think this would have been the biggest win in the last 10 years. I mean, it was, they played incredible.
That's a really good point. Keith, what would tonight's win have been? It would have been very significant, wouldn't it?
No, I think it would have been, it would have been significant in, for this season. I mean, we've been in an Elite Eight in the last 10 years. I mean, I don't know that it would have registered that, but I mean, it certainly puts you in great position. It would have been the biggest win this season by far.
So, Tony, are you going to join me on Thursday and head to ETSU or not?
Am I riding 100 miles to go watch? Now, who are we going to go watch? Wofford and ETSU?
Yeah. It's going to be a war.
Let me think here, Gary. You know what? Yes, you know what? Absolutely. I just remembered. I'm busy that night. You know what I like is when people ask me, well, what are you doing? Like after you make it, that excuse that you're busy and you say, I don't know yet, but I'll get back to you.
Hey, I've got a great story for you. I mean, it was a war last Saturday at Wofford. And Mike and ETSU's coach went at almost had a fist fight. It is awesome.
And whose coach?
ETSU's coach and
Murray Arnold?
Oh, no, Bartow.
I mean, Murray Bartow?
Yes, it's awesome. So if you do a remote, I'll tell you.
So you're going down. You're going down to the Roundhouse Thursday night?
No, going to ETSU Freedom Hall.
I wouldn't mind that.
But I've got a great group going. We'll have about 30 of us.
No. 30 of you, no. Can't do that.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, I love you, man. You're my guy. Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
See you.
Thank you. Hatfield, you'd do something like that if you were invited. Of course, you didn't get invited, if you noticed that. But.
I noticed that. Not.
Let's go back to our phones and grab another call. This is really a lot of fun. All lines are currently jammed. Smartway, Dalton Bearing and Hydraulics,
I have a question.
Go ahead.
I hate to break in. I hate to go all SEC Network, Tony, but just something food for thought for the show tomorrow. Mm-hmm. How in the world does Alabama end up with a former NFL defensive coordinator as their secondary coach and just end up with one of the three best recruiters in college football coaching their outside linebackers? Just how does that happen, Tony?
I have no idea. I don't pretend to understand what they're doing, because it's like they're on a, I don't know, like a different planet. Let's go back to the phones. Hello and welcome.
Tony, Keith, it's Smitty. How you doing?
Hey, Smitty.
Hey, first of all, great call by Elson. I think he nailed everything about this team and this coaching staff. I think that was a great call. Just kind of touch on a couple points. You know, I've mentioned, a lot of times this year that, Donnie out of timeouts is fantastic, and I think that he did that again tonight. I think that he's done that even in the Texas A&M game. I think he did a pretty good job of that. There's just that it's not even that last call that everyone's talking about, where Josh threw it to Hubs. I mean, like Ellison said, with that timeout with four minutes left in the game, I mean, things are kind of getting out of control, and it's looking like Arkansas's going to run away with this thing. And there's Donnie calling timeout, and his team you know, comes back out and fights hard and gets back in the game and gives themselves a chance. I mean, Arkansas is not an easy place to play. Bud Walton, you know, Arkansas is 13-1 in that gym, and they've always been that way under Mike Anderson. They hold that home floor, and, you know, there's the fact that Tennessee went in there and gave that team the run that they did, gave Portis fits in the second half. What adjustments there. That's something that, you know, kind of went unnoticed. You know, Portis had a huge first half. And the second half, he just, you know, he had a good second half, but he wasn't the man that he was in the first half. And they, you know, they took him out. And, you know, when you do that, another player may step up and Qualls did that. But, you know, he wasn't doing anything that was going to, you know, separate Arkansas away from Tennessee by, you know, 10 points. He, you know, he made great adjustments, and that's what he's really good at, and that's what I love about him.
I think you hit so many great things there, because when you look at tonight's game, Portis gets frustrated, and he starts committing a spate of fouls. Did you guys notice that?
He Portis got committed the fouls that he committed late were, I mean, what he had, I'm pretty sure that he committed his second foul probably with under 6 minutes left in the game.
I think it was seven or eight. Fouls. Yeah, he had four, and he should have fouled out at the end. There was a bump there on Amani Moore. I mean, they didn't call it. But what are you going
to
do?
That dunk that, you know, Balkman tried to take, if that was qual, I mean, you know, the officiating was, it was
a home officiating.
It was, and it's always going to be that way. I mean, that's the way college basketball is, and, you know, that's a good thing about it when you're, you know, you're going to get it both ways. But, you know, if we're at home and Balkman's going up for that dunk, you might see a foul there. And there's pretty good odds that you probably are. I'm not going to blame it on that, but, you know, Portis was, I mean, he was a big factor in the first half, and, you know, I can't remember. He only had 17 points in this game. I can't remember how many he had in the first half. It was pretty high. It's probably about 15, you know, 14, 15 points. And second half, he was nowhere to be seen, and he wasn't at the foul line either.
Yeah, he was a non-factor. And the one thing that I'll say about them, and Mike Anderson, I listened to his coach's show last night, he promised that they were not going to do anything different from their matchup in Knoxville. And guess what? They didn't do anything different. Arkansas is who Arkansas is, and they're going to be who they are. And you know what? When they play Tennessee and those two styles match, it is enjoyable, fun. I would pay to watch it. Basketball. It is really fun.
That's some of the best basketball that you're going to see
all year.
Especially from Tennessee. I mean, I think that, you know, that may be the best game that we'll watch all year.
Yep.
And it might be, you know, and even though it was a loss, I enjoyed every bit of it. You know, you're just not going to find many games like that in the SEC. I mean, you know, and even in college basketball as a whole, you know, where it's back and forth the whole game, and the officials allowed it to be that way, which is a good thing. You know, you kind of want it that way.
Yeah, I think they caught a little too much touchy-touchy stuff on us at times. But, yeah, I know what you mean.
So, but, you know, I'm really pleased. I hope that we beat the living snot out of Bruce Pearl at, you know, I hope that, you know, I know some people that are going in there that are going to be dressed in Auburn colors this Saturday. You know, that's just embarrassing. I mean, if you're going to the game this weekend, I mean, and you're going to be a Bruce sheep, then you're a clown, you know, just like Don is. And, but anyway, I'll talk to you later, guys.
Thank you. Why? Why?
You could see that. That was Nikita Koloff standing in the corner, pulling his arm into the Russian sickle, Tony. You could see that one coming.
865-200-5402. I just shot a tweet out with a picture of the phone lines in the Mirror studio saying that all lines are currently jammed as we hit the midnight hour. And it's unbelievable. As I get ready to go back to our phones, I want to remind you, SmartWay, ladies and gentlemen, online at gosmartway.net, where Joe Dean could... with the terms, if he wanted to, now SmartWay has everything for your home. There, your everything for home store. You pay your way. Furniture, appliances, electronics, cell phones, tires, you name it, they have it. And as I said, smartphones, they even have smartphones, latest and greatest stuff, iPhones, Samsung, LG, Blue, iPhones are available. And for Joe Dean, you know, we could even work on maybe getting him a personality there. I don't know.
Oh, that's what all the play-by-play guys they've got need. Jeez almighty.
I talked to another administrator within the league, and they can't believe how bad the announcing and just the general flair of the SEC network. I don't want to be a hater on it. I thought the two guys tonight did a really nice job.
Because they're not Schusen, normal SEC guys.
Well, Schusen does a nice job. We'll go back to our phones. I do want to say gosmartway.net, and you talk about where you're going to pay your way, and it is your everything for home store. You're going to be smart, you're going to buy smart, and you are going to experience the smart way. And the great thing is you walk in, say you want to get a couch or a television. You buy it, pay the low price, you're out the door, you pay cash, go. Boom. If you want to finance it, you can set up the payment plans to work how you want them to work. It's a beautiful thing. You pay how much you want to pay, over how long you want to pay it, and you make the payments when you, and if you want to change your payment schedule, you can do that, and they'll just tear it up, start a new agreement. You don't get penalized. That's why we call it the smart way. And it's really revolutionizing the way people buy things. And Smart Way, appreciate them being a part of this. All on-time lease payments earn 2% in-store cash credit that can be used any time for what you want, when you want it. And that's why we say, go the smart way. Back to the phones we go. 865-200-5402 is our number. Let's go back and grab another call. And who's up next with us? Hello.
What's going on there, Hatfield?
Hey, how you doing, TR?
Hey, I don't know who won, but I'm going to take a wild guess and say your Mountaineers won. Your Mountaineers won. Your demeanor tells me they won.
They get it out. They get it out. One in Manhattan tonight. That's a good win.
Okay, that's why I called it, man. I mean, you can tell. I mean, I'm pissed, but you got a upbeat demeanor than me, but more freaking power to you, man. When Tennessee loses, I don't give a flying flip. Who else doesn't lose? In my freaking real world, bro.
TR, do I go put the finger on the button tonight?
Well, I'm just I don't know. Hatfield seems he's jubilant for some reason.
Hatfield's appreciative of what he saw tonight. I am too. I just love.
Okay, yeah, I am too. But we a team that my expectations go NCAA. You do not. If we were getting an NIT bid right now, only would you take it? Would you take a NIT bid?
Well, obviously
right
not.
Now
obviously,
and go with it.
Obviously not. If you're sitting
NIT.
Obviously not. If you're sitting on 12 wins, I would know. I would like to play the season out and see if we can get the NIT bid. I mean, you're sitting there with 12.
I want to clear the freaking air right now. My goal is NCAA. That's my goal every year.
And listen, it's a worthwhile goal, but TR, it's not a fair expectation on this team. This team was thrown together in 5 weeks. I mean, it just was.
I know, but I've seen what we've done so far, and we're making stupid mistakes.
Yeah.
Like the Amani Moore to pass it to Donnie Power T there.
That was unbelievable.
I mean,
that was just
time.
Hard. That
I
was
mean,
just...
But I love Amani Moore.
Right. So what are we going to do? We can't fault him. We can't fault those guys. But I know what you mean. It's just tonight's game, you look at those numbers. We were rattling them off before. When you turn somebody over twice as many times as they turn you over in their building, you should win that game. When you out-rebound somebody in their building, you should. The difference is they shot the ball a little better, and that's why they won. They made some clutch threes down the stretch.
Yeah, and the bottom, the right, the end of the game, we had a chance. I mean, it, He was there for Hubs. He stepped up after a bad game.
Yes, he did.
After a bad game, he stepped back up to the plate. Punter kind of come on late after a big game last week, but, man, we gotta rally behind the good points in this game. We cannot let Pearl come in here and beat us. I appreciate it. He's the last coach to have a relationship with the Wizard of Orange, Bruce Pearl. He was the man. He knew what Ray Mears meant, and I appreciate Coach Pearl doing what he did for Coach Mears going out the door.
Agree.
In 07, man. I mean, he really, I could tell Coach Mears lit up, man. It was kind of, it kind of was Tennessee basketball 40 years ago, man. Pearl did that for us, but I do not want him to come in here and ruin, what we got going, which is, 5-3 after Saturday. 5-3, that's a halfway point almost.
That's a great,
I mean.
Yeah, and that would be a great, great number. Great number.
And get back in the damn plus column, brah, and Hatfield, I didn't mean to blast you, cause I remember last year we lost to Vanderbilt. At Vanderbilt, that closed circuit game, it was a closed circuit game, internet only, and, WLN country, they had it on, man, out there at, Roosters, WLNville. But, I just felt good about that game last year, even though we lost, man. I feel good about this game, but I hate to lose, man. But, this team has got, you know, less margin for error than last year's team, but, I appreciate it, Tony.
Thank you, Tay. Good talking to you. This team has no margin for error, I think, is what we saw down the stretch tonight.
Well, certainly not on the road against a pretty good team.
The Armani Moore turnover tonight was gigantic. Absolutely gigantic. But what are you going to do? You can't fault him. He plays so freaking hard. Play so hard. Hey, Bachman.
Well, that's one of those things. That happens at least once a game in every basketball game where you think a guy's going to cut one way and he cuts the other.
Sure.
And you patch it to the spot you thought he was going to be at.
We didn't have 28 turnovers. No, that's right. We didn't have 28 turnovers tonight, Keith. It wasn't Wade Houston getting beat 61 up at Kentucky.
Well, the bottom line is, if that pass happens with 14:06 to go in the first half, nobody remembers it.
Back to our phones we go, 865-200-5402. Let's grab another call tonight if you want to get in with us on your Smart Way, Dalton Behring and Hydraulics, Tennessee basketball overtime. Hello and welcome.
Hey, Tony, how y'all doing tonight? This is Mike from Fort Knox.
Hey, Mike, great to talk to you in Fort Knox tonight.
Yeah, hey, I just want to let you guys know, first of all, I want to tip my hat to you guys for staying up this late and doing this. This is awesome.
Thank you. It's what we're here for, man.
And, it's kind of hard to back up Kiar after he gets off the line, but, I actually have to agree with you, Tony. I mean, just the way that Donnie Tindall puts this team together in a short amount of time and then the way that they gel together to even get to this point is amazing.
And they played a guy tonight who's in what, Keith, down there, year four? So he's had time to put a real, solid, legitimate program together. And this is their go year. This is the go year for Arkansas. And they're, you know, a top 25 basketball team right there at the coming in the night, right there at the bottom of that distinction. So they're one of the better teams in America. And you push them to the 11th and a half hour on their floor. Hey. With a ragtag group of guys, and you're short. You've also had some injuries this year, and you had a couple guards not qualify or not get there due to other things. When I say not qualify, I just mean for various reasons, just not. I don't mean academically, but it's a choice of words. Maybe it's a poor choice of words, but it's a choice of words. To me, Mike, you're at Fort Knox. I say this team has thrown some gold up this year. This has been a lot of fun, man. A lot, and I mean that, a lot of fun.
And these guys are a bunch of, I mean, I don't want to say that they're a bunch of nobodies, but they're just, they